This is my favorite subject. My name is John Brock. I'm a sales manager for Halliburton Services in Duncan, Oklahoma. It's an oil well servicing company that maybe you've seen our red and gray trucks running up and down the road from time to time. I've been a Christian since 1969. I'll never forget that just a teeny little bit of my testimony, but I was working for Halliburton in Pratt, Kansas, and I was calling on a rig in western Kansas to solicit some of our oil field services. And I met a fella out there that was a geological engineer in what they call the doghouse out there on the rig. And I'll never forget something about that guy that was so unusual, especially in the oil patch, you know, is to find somebody that that had a Bible, and he obviously read it, you know, had it out there. It was in a prominent place on that rig. His language was a little bit different than what I was used to. And one of the things that really impressed me about this fellow was how practical the scriptures were to him. He would just share it. It was just a natural thing. And I wish I had time to tell you the whole story, but one thing led to another. I didn't realize it, but this guy went back to Wichita, and I never saw him again for another year and a half or so. But in the meantime, the Lord began to work in my life, and I came to know Christ. One day I saw this fellow walking down the street, because in the meantime, too, we had moved to Wichita. I saw him walking down the street, and I told him what had happened to me, and it just thrilled him to death. Come to find out that he had gone back using a Bible study with some fellows, and he told them about this Halliburton engineer that he met. And those guys took my name down and began praying for me. And I came to know Christ as a result of that, and I'm sure a number of other things. But this fellow, his name is Dick Grant. And Dick and his wife, Judy, began to help my wife, Lonnie, and I in our Christian walk. And they began to encourage us. They met with us for a long time and just shared their lives with us, taught us how to do Bible study, how to share our faith, more or less how to grow in the Christian. They discipled us, to use a common term we hear today. Sure, Dan. Yeah, I thought so. But I'll never forget. Now, here I was. I was one of these fellows that had been in the church for 17 years. You know, I was like a lot of Southern Baptists. I walked the aisle, was baptized, rededicated twice, and tithed before I was saved. And I've since come to flush out a few more just like me, and I know they're all over the place, not just in that church or denomination, but in many others as well. But I felt like that I already knew what I needed to do in my Christian life. You know, here I've finally given my life to Jesus Christ. He's my Lord, and I know what I need to do. I need to get busy, you know, get active and get to doing all these things. And Dick would encourage me to memorize Scripture. And he told me one time, he said, John, he said, I promise you, he said, it's the quickest way to get the Word of God into your life. It's the quickest way to get the Word of God into your life. And I thought, well, you know, Dick, that's all right. Now, I have no evidence for this or no reason for it, but I always felt like I was a little above average in intelligence, you know, and I thought I could read and comprehend, you know, while he's wasting his time on one little verse. Well, man, I can just read and I was just devouring the Word. But just seemed like it never did really soak in on me. And he was so patient. And it took about 3 to 6 months for the Lord to finally get my attention that he really did have something to say to me in this area. The way that it came about, and I'll be sharing with you, I'm going to tell you some practical things and too, maybe some war stories that might help as far as motivation is concerned to help you. But here's how God got my attention. He pointed out my need for Scripture memory. We were attending a conference, a Christian couples conference in Colorado Springs. This is the summer now after I was saved. And we've been out there a number of times since then. Now, this was 1969. And no one has ever done what I'm about to tell you since that time. Just some guys just got the wild idea, and here's what it was. They said, hey, let's all go downtown and let's take an hour outside and let's just do some cold turkey evangelism. And my pride, you know, wouldn't let me get out of it. And I ended up, you know, going with them. And, it was miserable. It was just the most frightening experience I've ever had in my life. And we were, I'll never forget, we were in this park in Manitou Springs. And I was with a doctor from Salina. And that poor guy, he was just as scared as I was. And we were looking around. And we had this little tract here, Steps to Peace with God. This was, by the way, how I was saved, was with this particular tract by the Billy Graham Association. And so we got to looking around for somebody to talk to, you know. Well, one way that God used this in my life was that it pointed out that, first of all, you know, where do you start? Well, I realized that for the first time, you know, Jesus Christ died for every person in this park. You know, he wants to be the Savior for all. So where do we begin? Well, we picked this old boy. He was a cowboy. Great, you know, husky-looking guy. And he's sitting over there on a park bench by himself. And I can just imagine now how we must have looked, two guys. We had old white shirts, you know, and we were sitting there looking around and looking at him. And finally, after about 10 minutes, we walked up to him. I didn't know what to say, and I told him, I said, excuse me, mister, but are you a Christian? And he, and I don't want to offend you by this, but this was what he said, quote unquote. He said, why, hell, man, my cousin's a Southern Baptist preacher in Oklahoma. And I said, well, praise the Lord, you know, and away I went. I didn't know what to say. And that's the way that whole hour went. So we got back to the conference grounds, and everybody was sharing the tremendous blessings that they'd had. You know, this happened, that happened. Some people did trust Christ and so forth. And I said, boy, I'll never do that again. I'll get back to Wichita, and I'll witness for Christ in my job, but I'm never going to do that again. Well, this fella, his name was Tom Ballman, who was from Omaha, Nebraska. Little short fella, cocky, you know, not cocky, but you know what I'm talking about. Just a little hoss is what he was. And but Tom really knew the Lord well, and he was skillful with the Word of God, and certainly a lot further along in his Christian life than I was. And Tom says, and he could tell I was about to spin off. That was a real critical time for me. And he said, John, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going to go back down there tomorrow afternoon. And he said, I want you to go with me. And I just want you to watch what happens and just keep your mouth shut. See what happens. And I said, okay. So I went back down there with him. We went back to that same park. And we're walking across this footbridge this time to get in there. And there were four what I'd call hippies. Two boys and two girls literally laying across the bridge like railroad ties, you know. So here I am. I'm looking around for some people to talk to, you know. And old Tom walks right up to them. Like they're not people, I'm thinking, I guess. He walked up and he said, hello. He said, my name's Tom Ballman. I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. And this is John Brock from Wichita, Kansas. He said, we're attending a Christian conference up here north of town. He said, we're just taking a little time out this afternoon to talk to people about Jesus Christ. I wonder if you'd have a few minutes to talk to us. And he said, sure, you know. And so they stood up and we began talking to him, and old Tom, he took this thing for my benefit, I guess, and just started leading them through the gospel. And they would have questions and so forth, and old Tom would very skillfully, you know, work the Word of God into the conversation. And it was just thrilling to see what happened, because there might be a little issue, or what about the heathen, or what about this, or what about that, and he would share an appropriate verse that it just settled the issue. And then it would just go on to something else. So finally, he asked them a question, which is not in here. And he since said he's never done that before, but he just asked. He said, if I were a genie and I could grant you any wish that you'd wish, what would it be? And they said, you know, it'd be world peace. And they really meant that, world peace. And old Tom, he said, well, it's interesting you'd say that. He said, Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And I said, praise the Lord, you know. And I watched three of those four kids accept Christ right there on that bridge. You know? Amen. Now that, I'm pretty thick-skinned and hard-headed, but that got through to me. And I think that the Lord used that as the catalyst to help me to be more teachable in that area. So when we got back to Wichita, of course, we were more open to learning a systematic way of beginning the process of hiding God's Word in our hearts. Just such things as this, you know, that a sword in the hand is worth 10,000 in the armory. You know, that we're in a battle. Ephesians 6:12, I believe, in the Living, Phillips, it says, for our fight is not against any spiritual enemy or physical enemy. It is against organizations and powers that are spiritual. We're up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents in the very headquarters of evil. So we are in a battle. I believe, too, we're up against a very smart, crafty enemy. And that if he can keep us ignorant of the weapon that we have available, he's got us right where he wants us. And I dare say that's where a lot of our brethren are today. You know, they're in the battle, but they're ill-equipped for it. And I praise God for you folks. Incidentally, if you've never been involved in spiritual warfare before, and you're serious about God's Word, hang on to your seat. You know, but we've won the victory. You know, hallelujah. We've won it. He is defeated. When Jesus Christ said it is finished, he meant it. But I've seen the enemy, he'll come on strong to keep you out of the Word of God and to keep the Word of God out of you. You know, that's one thing about it. You know, the Lord can't, so to speak, the Holy Spirit can't use it if it's not there. There's a thrill like none I've ever had of having taken the time to just hide one little verse at a time away in my heart, to have the Holy Spirit to draw it out into my lips at a time of need. And we'll talk about that just a little. I would like to pass out these things to you. If you would give me a hand, I'd sure appreciate you. Okay, let's see. There's one underneath now that I'd like to give them first. Looks a little different. Yeah, can you pull out some of those? And let's give them that one first and then make it. Let's begin with this outline, and what I'd like to do is just talk a little bit about each of these points, share some pertinent verses and perhaps some experiences and so forth, and we'll just work through this, and then we'll get to the how-tos. The importance of God's Word in our lives, that God's Word is the means of our salvation. You know, if it were not for the Word of God, you wouldn't know what your condition was as far as the Lord is concerned, would you? 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I am a mortal man. My seed is corruptible. It will not last, but God's word will last. In fact, you know, it's as someone pointed out to me one time, and it's so true. You know, there are two things that are eternal. One of them is people, of course, and the other one is the Word of God. In Matthew 24:35, Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. In fact, to me, scripture memory and encouraging people to begin this and continuing it throughout their lives, it's a real thrill. I just see it as taking the two eternal things and really, really putting them together and making them one. It provides food for the Christian's growth. 1 Peter 2:2-3, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. It is milk for the baby, and it is also meat for the more mature Christian. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 4:4, heaven and earth, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. that we literally live. Our spiritual soul is fed by the Word of God. You know, it's an interesting thing, too, to notice that if you're looking for an example, there's a good one, that the Lord Jesus was quoting to the enemy from Deuteronomy. We can check that out. And we have many other examples of Scripture being quoted in the Scriptures. Another place would be in Acts, on the day, I believe, the day of Pentecost, where that Peter preached and there were some 3,000 saved. You know, his message basically was taken from the book of Joel. He didn't have time to send some young man over, "Son, would you go over to the temple and get the Joel scrolls for me?" You know, that he apparently had it there in his heart that the Holy Spirit could bring to mind. And he shared, and there were some 3,000 people saved that day as a result of preaching the Word of God. It is our source of joy. Jeremiah 15:16. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Over the last few years, I've participated a couple of times in the Dale Carnegie courses, and as a graduate assistant. And I noticed one time, looking at reasons why some of the folks said that they wanted to take the course, and it really disappointed me that they said to get more joy out of life. And although if you've never had the Dale Carnegie course, take it. I think it's great, but don't take it to get more joy out of life. That's just you're putting a Band-Aid on a cancer if that's the case. But the Word of God is our source of joy. That's what Jeremiah 15:16 says. It is our weapon against temptation. Ephesians 6:16-17. I'll tell you, I'll not quote all these, but remember it says it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That we're not on the defense, we're on the offense. You know, like Jesus told Peter, you know, that Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, gates are defensive weapons. You don't attack somebody with gates. That we have the offensive weapon, and that's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." 1 Corinthians 10:13. Another good verse on this, Psalm 37:31. "The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide." It's our weapon against temptation. It's the main key to finding the will of God. Psalm 40 and verse 8. "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." It is the means of an effective witness for Jesus Christ. I just appreciate this so much. As I mentioned earlier under the first point, you know, that my seed is corruptible, and so is my word, what I have to say. But aren't you glad to know that you can give an effective witness for Jesus Christ and to be able to share the Word of God, that it's not up to your brilliance, it's not up to your arguments or your cunning, but if we can share the incorruptible seed. Isaiah 55:11, God says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." That's the Word of God. Romans 1:16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I remember a fellow that was a customer of mine one time. And we were conducting our business, and after it was over, this fellow, knowing that I was a Christian, brought up some arguments and some things that were on his mind as to why he wasn't a Christian. And to which the Lord gave me liberty to be able to share from the Word with him as to these different points. And that guy did not trust or accept the Lord at that time. In fact, to my knowledge, he hasn't yet. You notice I said yet. But I was walking back to my office, and I felt kind of defeated. I thought, I just wish that maybe I should have said this or I should have said that. But the Lord really just quickened my spirit. You know, that, hey, wait a minute now. You know, this is my battle, not yours. And that's my word that you left with him. And I said it'll not return void. And so let's just let it take its course in his life. And there's a verse here that this is from the Living, but it's really meant a lot to me. It's 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 in the Living. And see if this doesn't apply to you and to this situation. It says, "It is true that I'm an ordinary, weak human being, but I don't use human plans and methods to win my battles. I use God's mighty weapons." That's it right here. See, not those made by men to knock down the devil's strongholds. "These weapons can break down every proud argument against God and every wall that can be built to keep men from finding Him. With these weapons, I can capture rebels and bring them back to God and change them into men whose heart's desire is obedience to Christ." And I believe that. That old boy's going to be saved one of these days. And he 3 through 5 from the Living Bible. And it equips us to counsel others. Isaiah 50 and 4. "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear the learned." Have you ever had a word in season? I mean, I think just like that experience on that bridge. You know, John said, that was so perfect. Just a word in season. Or have you ever had somebody just share something with you that was just, "Thank you, Lord, I needed that." And I think that's what this means, you know, that word in season. I hope I can keep it together for this next point because it's so close to home. But I've added one here that you don't have on your list, and it's once it's in there, you can't run from it. I'll make this brief. This is from my own experience, but more so from a fellow that I've been very close to over the years that's hidden a tremendous amount of the Word of God in his heart. And I think it's just a very serious reminder that we are in a battle. And the enemy hit a few strokes in his life. And for a while, to where the guy was not walking with the Lord, totally spun off. But the Lord used this to bring him back. And Jeremiah 29, he says, "Then I said, I will not make mention..." You know, Jeremiah, for some reason, was up to here with it, with the Lord or with the ministry or whatever it was. But he said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire." I can hardly say this. "Shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. And I could not stay." You know, that's a good reason to have the Word of God in there. You can't run from it. And, you know, you can quit reading this, but you didn't think this would happen. This is pretty recent, and you'll have to forgive me. But okie dokie. Jeremiah 20 and 9. Yeah, 20, verse 9. Yeah, this guy... But this just happened this week, and he's really repented and come back, and this is really fresh on my mind. So, praise the Lord. Really does. Okay. There's a little illustration here that maybe you've seen this before, but the objective here is to get a grip on the Word of God. And there's a little illustration called a hand illustration. My goodness, what's the matter with me? I guess so. Let's see. Getting a grip on the Word of God. You know, that's the objective, isn't it? That we can become skillful with the Word. And what we'll do here is just using our hand, say that, you know, the first thing that we can do is we can hear it. We hear it all the time. We hear it on the radio and in tapes and that we heard the Word proclaimed this morning. You know, I just wondered if we just stopped right now. It was just a little few minutes ago and began to write down the points of the Scripture passages that Walt shared with us, you know, we have some idea, or we could mention, oh yeah, I remember that, and so forth. But you know, if you're average, which I've come to find out that I am, if you're average, you probably will remember less than 10% 24 hours later after you've heard something. And but Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then if you read Revelation 1:3, blessed are they that hear and they that read the word of this prophecy, that's roughly 15 to 20%, 24 hours later is what you... And if that's it, if you're just reading and hearing, you know, that's about all you're going to be able to grasp the word. Then there's study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that to study implies to me pencil and paper, digging it out, writing it down, you know, really, really digging into the word. And here again, you know, that's 25 to 35 or so percent is about all that we'll retain after 24 hours. But if we, you know, let this finger represent memory, scripture memory. Psalm 119, 9 and 11 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now let me ask you something. If you've memorized something, how much of it will you retain in 24 hours? All of it. Sure. All of it. And that's the objective. You know, but the thing is that we don't have a lot of promises for hearing, reading, studying, memorizing. But the real power and the real promises come from meditation. That's the thing. And it's Psalm 1, 2, and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
What was that scripture?
Psalm 1, 2, and 3. And it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I think about that as a fruitful Christian. I know different people have different ideas as to what it means to be fruitful, or John 15 talking about the vine and the branches, but I'm sure it does mean fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. But I also believe that that's the fruitful Christian. I think we're talking about people as well. And you know that for a lot of us, we'll go to these workshops on witnessing, and we'll just beat that to death about technique, how to do it. But I believe that the Lord has a message for us in here, that if we abide in Him and we let His Word abide in us and so on, that we're going to be fruitful. And probably it will be about as hard to explain as asking an apple tree how that apple got there. I don't know. All I know is I let my roots go down. I sucked my life up out of the ground by the rivers of water, you know, and look at this fruit. You know, it just must be the grace of God, I guess. And I really believe that's probably the way it works in our spiritual life as well. Let's see. Meditation, for your information here, is really taken, I understand, from the word to ruminate. It's like a cow is a ruminant, that she chews her cud. You know, have you ever heard a song or a commercial in the morning, you know, and you get that little thing in your mind and you just hear it on and off all day? That's kind of the idea, that we bring it up and we think about it and we study it and we, you know, ask ourselves questions: who, what, where, when, why, how. How does this apply to me? Lord, what do you want me to do about that? I wonder what, Lord, what do you mean, you know, fruit in his season or whatever it is. But to question and to look over, like looking at a diamond in light, and you turn it around and you look at all the different facets, and that's the way we ought to be looking at the Word of God. See, this is what makes the difference. The Pharisees could quote all sorts of Scripture to you. They could quote that Bible. But the problem was, it was a matter of about 18 inches or 14 inches. They had it up here, but they didn't have it down here. And that's what we're talking about. If we get it from here to here, that's what will make the difference. That's where the fruit comes from, I believe. Okay. The thing, too, if you only memorize and meditate, if you only memorize it, you'd still have a pretty good grasp, you know, on the Word. But let's do all five, all of them. You know, hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate. Okay, how to memorize Scripture? You know, one of the little war story here. I was leading a Scripture memory class one time in a church where that I'll never forget. There was the potentially there if we, and you stay with me on this, if we got off of Christ, there could have been some doctrinal problems. And I was asked to come in and to lead this in this particular church, and it was no problem for me if it was no problem for them. And so I said, nah. So the preacher was in there with us. He said he was a student in this class. So away we went. Well, we were just, he said, now, John, he said, now you're going to be the authority in here. In other words, if a question comes up, you handle it. And because, you know, a lot of times the people with their pastor in there, it'd be awful easy from just, you know, it could be a dialogue between them instead of with me. And he realized that. He said, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I said, okay. So we went along there for 2 or 3 months. And, weeks. Less than a month. And finally, one night, he said, I can't stand it any longer. He said, I've got to say something. And I said, uh-oh, what have I done? And he said, I just want to say this. He said, my father was a pastor. You know, and I've been to seminary. I've studied Hebrew. I've studied Greek. Now I've been a preacher for a few years. And he said, but you know that these 12 little verses of Scripture in my heart have done more to affect my life than all that. And it's kind of funny too, is that the people he couldn't keep from using these scriptures in his sermons, and he'd be quoting those verses, and these people's lips moving out there, you know, or they'd get to look at each other, and he'd get to wonder, did I miss it? Did I quote it wrong? But it really had an impact in his life. Okay, how to memorize Scripture? I think the first thing, and that's why I've been telling you some of these stories and all the rest, and I'm sure that probably if you've already done that, or you wouldn't be here. Maybe some of you have already memorized Scripture. But that's just a matter of heart preparation. Are you sure this is really what God wants you to do? You know, that's one thing. I think a good verse on this is Ezra 7:10. It says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Ezra's objective was to be able to teach statutes and judgments in Israel, to teach the Word, to reacquaint the people with the Word. But the first thing he did was he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Not only that, but to do it. He was going to be obedient to it. And then he would be able to teach. Are any of you Sunday school teachers? Are you involved in helping other people? You know, that's the way. You know, a message prepared in the head communicates to the head, but one prepared in the heart communicates to the heart. And we need more heart preparation today. So, and I have, by the way, I'll give this to you when you leave. It's Ezra 7:10 for you to memorize and meditate on and apply to your life to get you started. One of the things that you can do, and we'll talk about this some, but is... you can carry, for instance, verses with you. And I carry, my goodness, I hope the Lord doesn't come back and find me without my verses. There we go. Yeah, sir? Well, that's the truth. That's right. These are my new ones, though. That's right. But one of the things that I have used, and I find that a lot of people do, is verses on, these are just happen to be little blank cards right here. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about some courses that are available and some things you can do. In fact, I picked up one thing that's down here, a good place to start, that the Billy Graham Association has put together. And these are available, I think they're 50 cents, down here at the book table. And so I'd suggest if you're looking for a good place to start. I haven't even looked at these. I'm not familiar with this particular course, but this one is on the subject of cleansing, Isaiah 51:10, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, so forth. So, you know, there are all sorts of things that you can do. But I have the blank cards here that I am using currently as the Lord speaks to me in my own Bible study and quiet time and so forth. I just go ahead and jot the verse down and memorize it. In fact, the one that I was just sharing this morning, I've memorized more from the King James than anything else, and I'd say secondly probably would be the Phillips. I just personally just like the way that the Phillips translation puts things. It's Ephesians 5, 10, 11, Phillips. It says, "Let your lives be living proofs of the things which please God. Steer clear of the activities of darkness. Let your lives show by contrast how dreary and futile these things are." So that's one thing that you can do. And if you're looking for a place, I would suggest that out of your own Bible study or verses that speak to you, or if you're accustomed to doing in-depth Bible studies, maybe you can spot key textual verses or doctrinal verses that that you'd like to hang on to. But particularly those that apply to your life, those that apply to your life will be the most natural and easy for you to share with someone else. Let's see. I have this note about keep the verse pack handy at all times. That's the nice thing about something like this, is that you can carry it with you at all times. Ephesians 5, 15, 16 in the Phillips, it says, "Live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men or women who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. Make the best use of your time despite all the difficulties of these days." I think what you'll find is this, that you'll be able to do your scripture memory activity at time that otherwise probably would get away from you. Now, I don't know what your schedule is like. I know, for instance, my wife has memorized verses at the kitchen sink. She has memorized verses to tape one to the mirror while she's grooming herself in the mornings. For me, I spend a lot of time in a car, and I would say that probably 90%+ of the verses that I've memorized have been driving the car. I've had some people think I was a little crazy, maybe, talking to myself. That's something. But you know what your schedule is, and pray for wisdom as to how you might use your time such that you'd be able to do this. This point D here about learn it well and repeat it often. I'll jump this just a moment here, but really, really, the secret, if you're looking for a secret to scripture memory, this is it. It's three things. Review, review, review. That's really it. It is just, it's review those verses. One of the things that will happen here, let's see, I've got a little room. The way that, and it's fantastic the way that God has made the human mind, that we have the capacity to memorize. You know, that it has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with intelligence. It's the capacity is there for all of us. But what happens is, that we'll say the objective is to memorize it. That we will, you learn something and forget it. And then you learn it again and you forget it. And you learn it again. And the point is, until the times you're forgetting literally become smaller and smaller and smaller until you've done it. The thing is, and it's this matter of review. That's what's important. I've seen people, and now over the years I've been involved with this, and I've heard every excuse in the world, and used some of them myself, but none of them hold water. It's a matter of reviewing that, I can't memorize, but you can, some of you women, we can talk about recipes, and you can write those things out probably all day long about, because you've reviewed them, you've been over them, or addresses, or telephone numbers, or dates, or geological formations for men, or profit and loss sheets and all the rest. It's a matter of what we go over. That's the thing. It's just like this verse right here. I've been working on this one for 2 or 3 days, and I don't worry about it. I'll go over it to the point to where that I can say it. And then I'll go on about my business. I'll do something else. And maybe come back to it later that day, or maybe not. I'm doing this for the long haul. Not any 100-yard dash. I'm running a marathon. And to review it tomorrow, and so forth, and it just go right through that right there. It'll just get easier and easier and easier on that verse. But the important thing is to continue to review it. Now, to finish this point here about learn it well, repeat it often. Always tie the reference to the verse like this: Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. You know, Ezra 7:10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Ezra 7:10. And that's very important that you say the reference fore and aft, the front of the boat, the back of the boat. Because what it'll do is it'll help you tie it. This happened to me a while ago. I can't remember what the verse was. I was as blank as could be on the verse that I was going to share with you. But when I said the reference, it automatically came. And it's because of that, that review. So I'd encourage you to do that. Always say it before and after. And it's this next point, word perfect. If we're going to do it, let's just do it right. Whatever the version or whatever else. Or even at this, if you're sharing it with someone, now there are times when it's you want to be careful and in good wise not to just beat somebody to death with book, chapter, and verse. There's some people that really turns them off. You know, well, now Romans 6:23 says, and this, da, 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 you know, all that. But we can share the word with them sometimes maybe without them even knowing it, if you know what I mean. Paraphrase it or in other words. But when we're learning it, let's learn it word perfect. For somebody that really wants to know if you know what you're talking about, you know, and it would do well if it is word perfect. I think that adds some credibility to the tool. And then that point about review. Now, here's the system part of this. This is what I have been taught and have found over the years that has worked for me. And that's this. I don't have this written down, and I don't think it really needs to be, but just this, that it takes about 12 weeks to get something, or 8 to 12, to get it literally into your subconscious. Okay? Some experts say that, I guess. But here's what I would recommend. If you're going to memorize a verse, let's use this illustration of one verse a week, one verse a week, that you learn that verse and you review that verse every day for 12 weeks.
You think once a day is enough?
I think it's a minimum. I think it should be more than that, but I'm saying an absolute minimum of once a day, absolute minimum. I appreciate your mentioning that. Well, so you know, do whatever you need to do, but a minimum of once a day, okay? Then, review that verse every day for 12 weeks. Now, what will happen is that you're going to take on another verse next week and another one the following week and so forth, where that ultimately you're reviewing 12 verses every day, okay? And then as you add a new one, you've got that one that you've been reviewing for 12 weeks, and you take that one out, and we're going to build a weekly file now. And we take those, and we'll review those at least. But I would suggest right now, and under normal circumstances, we ought to be able to retain that because we've been doing this every day now for 12 weeks. Then to build a weekly file. Now, for this, you know, and it's not going to be a humongous file for a long, long time. And it's to say that, you know, you could go ahead and use your own experience here, but I would suggest that you go on and review that weekly file maybe for a year or probably 2 years. And then let your own experience take over here. I have verses that I memorized years ago that I don't review them now, but about once every, probably 3 to 6 months. And they're there. And it's not that I think I've got it made, but it's just that I don't need to review them as often as I do the other ones. So you see, and what I'm talking about here, you can handle a lot of verses. I've taken like my monthly verse file, and what I've done is just, and this just fits my schedule, is that I then divided it up in days of the month so that on that particular day, I just pull out. And all it's kind of like Jesus said, you know, live life then, Matthew 6:34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. So that if we can just live, Dale Carnegie picked up on that principle. He says, live life in day-tight compartments. So if we can just kind of put this thing in, what if I can just be faithful today we get to thinking about, my goodness, memorizing Scripture. Or someone that you meet that knows all these verses and all the rest. Well, you remember that preacher that I told you about? He said, these few little verses, you know, and the impact that they've had in his life. And when you think about how big a job it is, you remember this. It's hard by the yard, but it's a cinch by the inch. You know, you can't swallow an elephant whole, but you can eat him one bite at a time. And that's what we're talking about here, is just one little verse at a time. And it's like my friend Dick Grant told me, and I'll tell you now from experience, it's the quickest way to get God's Word into your life. One little verse at a time. Are there any questions at this point? Yes, sir.
How important is it to say the verses out loud?
I think it is important. How hard is it to say the verses out loud? Or how important is it? I would recommend that. I really would. I think that there's just something about that mechanism of getting it from the mind to the lips that I have found that I just am not able to articulate the verses as well if I don't habitually say them out loud.
Do you find it worthwhile if you're in a social situation, maybe where saying it out loud would not be appropriate or whatever? Do you find it at all worthwhile to have those verses, you know, silently in your mind?
Oh, sure. Sure. Do you mean like for your own use? Some temptation or something like...
For Scripture memorization, if you're in a situation where, you know, it wouldn't be right or appropriate to say it out loud, are you able to use that time, you know?
Like for review? Sure. Yes. You can do it both ways, but if you have the option, I'd suggest that you say it out loud. That you do it. Yes, ma'am.
Do you use the unknown tongue privately with your Holy Spirit?
No, ma'am. I've asked the Lord to give me all that He has for me, and thus far that has not been my experience. But I do review these verses and pray over them and try to stay as close to the Lord as I possibly can. Yes, ma'am.
Would you recommend studying with someone to memorize?
I sure do. And do I recommend studying with someone to memorize? And it's the verse. In fact, I mentioned that over here. If I just turn the page over, it says to get someone else to do it with you. And a good verse on that is Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. It says that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And that's a perfect verse in a lot of ways, but especially for Scripture memory. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. Yes, that's right. I sure would. In fact, I would recommend that above all else. Now, I have some suggestions, and toward the end, we'll take as much time as we have to get into this. I'd like for you to just take it with you. If you're interested in starting a Scripture memory group, I have some suggestions for you as to what you might try there, what you might do. But the main thing that this does is that it gives accountability. One of the key things that we do is that we have what we call a review chart. Now, we'll do this like in our church during a training union, or some of us do it in our homes as an extension of our church ministry. And instead of calling the roll, well, we have just a made up a chart with everybody's name up there and a square for every day that we're going to meet, you know, maybe 30 weeks or however long for whatever we commit to. And when we get there, we ask, how many days did you review this week? And it's kind of like everybody says, well, I know John's going to ask me, so I guess I better get this review over with, you know. But we want them at minimum of every day. Not how many times, but how many days. One of the things that you can tell from this is if they start getting fours and fives and threes, you know, it's going to be reflected. They're going to have problems. Yes, ma'am.
My question is altogether different, I bet, Lavin.
You have a different question? Okay.
In teaching children, Sunday school and so forth, teaching Bible verses, we've gone through the King James for many years. It's a little harder for them to learn, and it gets confusing what to use with them. Mm-hmm. They advise RSV or international.
Well,
easier to grasp. If you get into one that's too way out, like Phillips and the Living,
yeah,
it's easier for us, but I'm not sure it is for them.
Yeah.
There's too many words.
In that case, you know, I would suggest if there really is a problem. You know, like my daughters have memorized King James, and but there are, if you get into what I'm saying, a problem, the howbeits and the hithertos and the things like that, if that's really a problem, maybe to cut it back to the vernacular or how we would use it.
Your own version.
Well, I mean, for them at least now. I remember one kid, I was counseling him after he had made a decision, and it seemed to me that he just needed to pray about this. He had never done that. And so I opened the Bible up to John 16:24, and I thought, boy, this is just what he needs, you know. And so he's a junior high kid. And so I said, here, son, read that. And it says, John 16:24, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And I felt like that's what the Lord wanted me to share with him. Well, this kid, he looked at that, and I have King James, and he looked at it. I thought, what's the matter with this kid? And he said, I said, read it out loud. He said, hitherto. It hitherto kind of threw him, you know, hitherto, he thought. So so I would say what's practical there, but probably...
it almost stalemates.
Yeah.
Learning one and another one. You're giving a word or
a
letter perfect?
I'll tell you, yes, and that is a problem when you have like a group. I would suggest that the group covenant to memorize the same version, because that is a problem. You're sitting there and you just barely got this thing nailed down yourself,
yeah,
and you hear somebody else in NIV and RSV and all the rest of that, and so it really can be a problem.
Study.
Yes, ma'am. Again, now, here, for instance, is something by an organization called it's the Bible Memory Association, the BMA. They have, and the style that they use are these little books that you can design to be carried in the pocket. I've memorized many of these verses. I do not subscribe to this particular style because I use like this. These little packets, by the way, you can get them in most any Christian bookstore. They have a little... clear plastic holder here. That's the verse that you're memorizing, the one you're working on. Here are the verses that I'm reviewing every day, right now, my daily review. And right here, I'm running a little low. This is the verses to memorize, you know. So these are well thought out and very handy. And again, you can pick these up at most any Christian bookstore. There are courses that are available. If you would like to do that, I would suggest, again, going to your Christian bookstore. These things are available. I know the Navigators really pound the drum on Scripture memory. So they have some very good little 36-verse courses and so forth, or verses that you can buy on a particular topic. They also have, like, the Topical Memory System. Different ones, as you see, that I have listed down here. Here's another one. This is a course that we use in our church, and we have used throughout the years. It's by the Moody Correspondence School, called Memorize the Word. And it's really good. And in fact, if you'll keep this in mind, Moody Correspondence, Memorize the Word. And now if you'll help me pass out these other things, we'll not... I think I have covered the basics of what I have in this handout, such that if you're interested in a scripture memory group, I think that this will help you, if you'd like to take the time to look it over and think about it. But, you know, another good thing, if you're looking for something to memorize, you know, just on the gospel, take something like this. There's excellent verses in there. You know, write them down on a blank verse card and... learn the gospel. That's, we Christians, we ought to be able to tell someone how to be saved with the Word of God. All sorts of things. It's just a matter of being like Ezra, you know, preparing the heart and to do it. That's the important thing.
Is this all you do in your meetings? You just come and review scripture?
No, it isn't. When we come, basically what we'll do, we'll come in there. Everyone is expected. We really challenge them beforehand to see this thing through and to be prepared for the meetings. We ask them to do a verse analysis on at least one of the verses. Now, in this case, they're memorizing three verses a week. But the bottom line is that we strive toward application. That what they will write down is what they think the verse would have them be, think, or do, what their life is like now in that regard, and what they intend to do about it, to write it down. And they're prepared. In fact, these are the very active, lively discussions when we get together. So they do the verse analysis. They do memorize the verses. And then there are 12 chapters in here, where that you'll cover one chapter every 2 weeks. And there are 6 verses per chapter, 3 verses per week. And on the alternating weeks, in fact, and I don't want this to scare anyone away, there are tests and so forth. Let me tell you a little story here, just one last one. For my mother, I'm very proud of my mother, bless her heart. The Lord moved us back to Duncan, and that happened to be my hometown. And mother was one of these folks that she was saved in a Brush Arbor revival at Cox City, Oklahoma, down by Rush Springs. She had been a Christian for 35 or 40 years. And she was 69 years old, and she was one of these folks that she just sat back and just... She just really didn't think that the Lord could use her. And mother, through no motivation on my part, but she felt like this is what the Lord wanted her to do. She got in there. She memorized 72 verses of Scripture, word perfect, and others. She began having a quiet time, spending time daily with the Lord, growing. Mother's 75 today. About 2 years ago, they approached her and they said, "Florine, have you ever thought about teaching a Sunday school class?" She said, "Oh, no." To make a long story short, she's got a class at the oldest group of women in the church. And they tell me how much they love her. And, well, that woman knows the Bible frontwards and backwards. You know, why, you know? But the thing is, you know, that if we get ourselves in a position to where that we're usable, God will use us. And that's story after story. But that's, unless you have any other questions, I'd be glad to talk to you privately. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for these folks and for their attentiveness. God bless them. Give them a new resolve. And like Ezra, Lord, help them do what they've prepared their hearts to do. Father, I commit them to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.